It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, to preview all areas of the upcoming football season, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, episode 10. We made double digits. How do you think?
I'll tell you what, there was a lot of naysayers saying we'd never get to 10.
Yeah. Look at us now.
My mom was one of them.
Yeah. My mom doesn't even know about it. So.
We're on episode more than y'all.
Yeah, that's right. But really excited to be here again this week. Got some good football to talk about, both last week's games and also the upcoming games. But first, we want to talk a little bit about something different with the Queen Leopards. Tony, you want to bring us up?
Well, everybody knows in town that we won the 5A State Soccer Championship this year. There's a big billboard now in town. A big, beautiful billboard has a picture of the team and puts the facts up there. But they got their rings this week, and they worked hard for those rings. A lot of people gave a lot of money. The kids went out and worked to get the money. Some businesses came together, and those rings look sharp. And we just, again, want to congratulate Coach Sloan and the Queen soccer team, boys soccer team, on winning, I believe, their 7th state championship.
Oh, yeah. Man.
You can make an argument they were the best team in the state regardless of class, because during the season, I believe that they either beat maybe Russellville, who got to the 6A state championship, and DeQueen wore them out in a regular season. So it had been interesting to see how the Leopards would have done against the 6 and 7A state champions.
Yeah, they really, really had a great year, won the state championships, and congratulations to them for winning and also for getting their rings last week.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about the Queen football. Tough game Thursday night. Little Rock Parkview was all that was advertised.
They were, but our Leopards did not back down.
No, they really didn't. I mean, like I told Coach Bell when I saw him, I've never been prouder to be a Leopard.
Yep.
And I think that possibly that's probably the best half of football they played all year long. And
maybe in multiple years.
Maybe. And I just think that they gave it all they had.
Yep.
And you know, in a game that ended up 55-7, that's kind of strange to say. But I said,
if you weren't there and didn't get to see Little Rock Parkview, you missed something.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get there and see the Leopards' effort, you missed something again.
Yeah. So. Yeah, just talk about Cole Binkley for a minute. He's going to be our Gentry Chevy Leopard player of the game. Scored a touchdown, scored the touchdown that they scored. And also he was just hit on every play. I mean, and I'm talking about – when you talk about two hits he took were the hardest hits I've ever seen in a high school.
Well, when you talk about special stuff and you don't really know how to describe it, so you call it special stuff or you call it, he has it. Yeah. He has special stuff in him. He has it. He's a special young man.
Yeah, he really is. Well, let's talk to Coach Richard Bell about the
game. Hold on. Okay. I know we got Coach Richard Bell waiting. But we had Stephen A. stop by last episode, okay? But I feel like you might find a little bit more of a soft-spoken, maybe closer to Skip Bayless.
I'll take the part of Stephen A. this week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. But, Greg, what do you had some pretty good words to talk about Parkview, right? Or the Patriots, sorry. Like, you know, about how they played. Their sportsmanship.
Oh, they play between the whistles, and their most disciplined football team will play, which says a lot about a team that has so much more athletic ability than you. A lot of them want to rub it in your face. That's not them.
No, they played really. They played really well, and I mean, they played in between the whistles. They didn't play dirty. They didn't do anything. Now, I can't say as much about the referees.
Okay,
that's where I was going.
And you got it.
Well, I'll tell you what. At the end, they are. I think they're up 35-7 at this time, maybe.
Yes,
and. The last play of the half, they one of their kids gets loose, and Ulysses brings him down, and he's well short of the goal line, at least a yard, and his knees are, well short of the goal line. Two officials trailing the play by what Bell says is 30 yards on call it a touchdown. And here's the thing. If you don't see a kid score a touchdown, don't call it a touchdown. Holy cow. I mean,
good rule of thumb.
Well, I just think about, are these guys just trying to get at the sportsmanship rule so they can go home?
Mm-hmm.
Well, end up that Hot Springs missed the extra point and they didn't get to the sportsmanship rule until Parkview until the third quarter. So I just, you know, Parkview didn't need any help and they got a little bit of help Friday night.
Mm. Gotcha.
Yep. They really did. So. You want to bring him in now? Okay, we're here with Coach Richard Bell of the DeQueen Leopards. Tough game Thursday night, Coach Bell. I want to tell you a couple of things first. You know, and I know it may sound kind of strange, but I think at least the first half was the best half of football I've seen the Leopards play this year.
Maybe in years.
Yeah, and they did really well. And second, I want you to know that I've never been prouder to be a Leopard after watching them the way they played and fought. And you know, if I've seen a better high school football team than Parkview, I don't know. I can't remember it.
Yeah, they definitely were a very talented team as far as on film and then in person. We got to see how big they were and how fast they were. I had a conversation with the boys, and I do before every game. I don't ever write anything down. I just have something that comes to me, you know, about a message that I can give to them about, you know, things in my past. And that night was, I told them, be unrelenting in all things that you do, not just in football, but in, you know, in the game of life, be unrelenting. Somebody tells you you can't do something, be unrelenting. Someone tells you that, you know, you can't make this or you can't do this, be unrelenting at your craft. Be unrelenting at what you strive to do. So no matter what happens tonight, you will not win every down. Be unrelenting. Get your butt back up and let's go again. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my speech I had to them. They were pumped up. It was kind of crazy to me because a lot of them had tears in their eyes. They were so pumped up for this game. And I was like, here we go. I said, I felt like it was going to be a good one. Being realistic, it would have had to have been a crazy circumstance for us to win that ball game. But the little efforts and the little wins that came out of that game, I told Tony on the sideline, I think, I said, but I couldn't be, I think it was after the first quarter, I was like, I couldn't be prouder of that quarter if I had raised them myself. Uh-huh. Because, you know, how hard they were going and what they were up against.
Well, I'll tell you one thing we found out. That I'm just going to tell you, Cole Binkley's a lot tougher than I thought he was. he got two hits that probably the hardest
his
hits I've seen in high school.
His name's going to be Timex. He took a lick and then kept on taking.
So when they, if that, when we run money, when if that guard comes down on our fullback, he pulls it and he tries to get in the hole. Well, they had a linebacker coming from about 6 yards deep, and when Cole pulled it, he met him right in that hole and folded him up twice and Cole popped right back up and said, what's our next play? And that's pretty much the mentality of all those kids. I had my defensive end going against, a Division I recruit by Ole Miss. And there was a play that he got knocked down. The kid looked to find somebody else. And sure enough, Fernando jumped up and went and made a tackle. You know, so it was just unrelenting. So no matter the case, you know, they were knocked down or they were out, it was an unrelenting effort again. You know, they lost the game, but they won in many more aspects other than that.
Well, you know, Coach, Parkview didn't get to the sportsmanship rule until 10:46 of the third quarter. I would have lost the house betting that it would have been sometime maybe in the first quarter or the first half. And they shouldn't have got to the sportsmanship rule then because they were given a gift touchdown on the last play of the half that the kid did not get in the end zone.
Yeah, I had one of my guys, one of my leading tacklers, get hit in the hip with 11 seconds to go, and he was limping really, really bad, and I end up putting in a couple of third-string guys, and they were there to make the tackle. The kid made a good move down the sideline. Ulysses Cotto got stiffed arm, and the guy went for another 20, so he pushed Cotto off. Cotto, again, unrelenting, did not give up, ran the kid down, grabbed him by the ankles, and he fell on the 1-yard line. The officials were on about the 30-yard line, and were putting their hands up, and I was like, "There is no way." But again, that wasn't a call that won or lost us the game, but no, it was a momentum swing.
But it did push the sportsmanship rule closer than it would have been.
It was a momentum swing, you know, because the clock had run out, and I thought our kids had played a good first half for them, and so yeah, that one kind of stung, and then come right back out of the half and fumble it and get a scoop and score. So that's two bam bam big plays that we did not need. But again, it's hard to say. People look at me funny this weekend when I went and watched the Razorback game. I said, I can tell y'all right now. Y'all can say, how'd y'all lose, or y'all got your butt beat or whatever. I'm telling you right now, you don't know these kids, and
nobody would say that to watch the football game.
You don't know what I saw on film, so you can have your comments all you want. I'm a leopard through and through, and I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Well go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say the same thing. If you were there Friday night, I mean, there's not been many times since we've been in the new stadium. There's been that much excitement when the Leopards scored, about the Leopards' effort, their heart. I came home and told my wife, I said, man, we played as hard as we could play tonight, and that's all you can ask your kids to do.
That's exactly right. Well, moving forward to this week, another tough game. Got the Hot Springs Trojans there. While they got beat by almost an identical score by Parkview, I think theirs was 54-7. We found out that Arkadelphia is a little better than what we thought they were. They didn't win any games, but they got an impressive win over them 24-7, and I think that was the opening game of the season, and they beat Hope 53-13. So.
This group of kids that he has there, they were very good in junior high. And, you can tell by how many three-year and two-year starters he has. His quarterback's a three-year starter there for him. He threw for almost 2,500 or 2,600 yards, something like that last year, was an all-state guy. He has an all-state receiver who's 6'4", 180 pounds, three-year starter. He's got a DN that's being recruited by D1 schools. That's a 2 to 3 year starter. So he has weapons, all over the field. I think there's some things that they run that plays in our hand a little bit, because they have a really big old line. The old line's not necessarily quick, but they're big, so they can, if you line up head-to-head and you try to push them like they're a sled, it's not going to work. So we got some things I think we can do against them defensively to try to make ourselves what I call make ourselves scarce, make ourselves skinny, try to get in gaps so we're not man-on-man. They have a big slot. I think he's 6'1", about 245. They call him a tight end, but to me, he's a slot back, so he's in there for blocking. And they're not shy. They're 95% run towards that slot, we'll try to make moves to get to that guy and get in gaps, to try to stop the run. When it comes to their offense, if I pack the house and go for the run, they have the receiver core to just throw it down the field. I think they had their receiver, that's that one kid, number zero. Oh, I lost his name. Anyways.
Is it Katie Allen?
Yeah, and he had five or six touchdowns against Hope, where he just turned it on and outran Hope down the field, and Hope can fly. And so if I decide to double-team that guy and move a safety out there and a backer out, well, then all they're going to do is decide to run power on me. So it's one of those teams that have a dual threat. They're going to be hard to stop. I think we can move the ball on them because, again, I think they load their old lineup with the big cats. They have that one defensive end, but we can always go to the other side against that guy.
Well, they have a couple All-State football players. Mm-hmm. The three-year starter, Matthew Contreras, 31 passing touchdowns last year. He's a stud. And then Kendall Williams, defensive end, 134 tackles and 9 sacks last year. And they've done a real good job with their football program. They've come a long way in a short time.
How many years has he been there? Is this his fourth year?
It is.
Fourth year there? Yeah. When he came in again, he was from the Benton Bryan area, I think, is where he was coaching. And they've always had the potential to be, really good. Hot Springs is a big town. And those kids, were basically known for being a basketball school. They all love to play basketball, and you can tell by the state titles that they have in that. And he got a lot of those kids to come back out and play football. So, you know, that's more power to him. You know, he's got them rolling. I wish the best, but I don't wish the best on Friday night.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, go ahead.
Well, just Leopard player of the game, yeah. The Gentry Chevrolet Leopard player of the game. Yet we had about four guys we could have gone with, Coach. Donovan Esther had a good game, had 68 yards rushing. Ulysses Cotto had 9 tackles. Kind of overlooked, Jonathan Bahina had 105 yards in kick returns. I thought he did a sensational job.
I did too.
Returning the ball. But, man, a tough son of a gun, Cole Binkley, is going to be our Leopard, Gentry Chevrolet Leopard player of the game.
And I had peak therapy had called me and said, where's your Leopard player of the game? And I was like, I don't know what everybody else is going with, but I'm going with Cole. And one thing is with Cole is because, you know, he makes that offense run. He's the guy that when they line up, everybody looks to make sure they're in the right spot. If we audible, he's the one doing the audible. He knows every time he pulls that ball from the fullback that – our offense is designed for him to get smacked in the mouth so he can pitch it to somebody else.
Yeah.
He makes those reads. Like you said, you know, he got hit hard all game long. Pops right back up, runs the next play. You never hear a word come from him. He hardly ever makes a mistake. That kid could take player of the game any game just for how he runs our team.
Hey, great player, great job, and
just a junior?
Yeah, we'll Gentry Chevy Leopard player of the game, Cole Binkley. We appreciate you coming in today. We look forward to Friday night against the Trojans and look for a win.
Oh, I can guarantee you come watch the Leopards play, you're going to see them give them all you got.
That's awesome. Exactly that's what we want.
Go Leopards.
That's right. Go Leopards.
Go Leopards.
Thank you.
Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and DeQueen Animal Hospital. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. Give them a call, 870-898-5181.
Or you can call DeQueen Animal Hospital, 870-642-VETS.
Yes.
That's 8387 for you impaired people.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
They're located at 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen. I couldn't remember what kind of impaired.
Yeah.
Generationally.
Mentally.
Generationally impaired. I was trying to think of some kind of alphabetically impaired. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. That's what I wanted to say.
All right.
Or
poor Tyler, man. He just sits there and he's such a good guy. Because I wouldn't take it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a four-letter word so you can give me the numbers associated to it.
I couldn't do it. There's no way. I know what one you're coming up with.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing that.
I don't talk like that anymore.
All right.
But, hey, back to mm-hmm. DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Vet Clinic. They got Southwest Arkansas covered with veterinary care.
There for all your pets' needs or livestock needs even. Large animals accepted as well. And we appreciate them for sponsoring this podcast, of course. It is that time, so make sure you get all your vaccinations taken care of, your flea and tick prevention, heartworm, just get it all done in one quick shot, and they make it as easy and nice as possible. Their office is super nice, calm, a delight to walk into, and I love leaving my cats there and letting them do what they need to do. I know it's a tough job.
Yeah. So. Some are tougher than others.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I had a cat one time. Have I told you this story?
I don't want to know it.
I was going to tell you about, Dr. Martin had to put on welding gloves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. He had to use welding gloves. But, hey, man, he did it, and he got the job done.
That's right. He cares.
He cares, and he's going to take care of your animals like they're his own.
Absolutely.
And you know, your animals can be your family.
That's right.
I think he just does a great job. Everybody does a good job.
That's right.
And so don't forget, they also board. And I think that, you just can't find a better place for your animals.
No, you cannot, and especially in Ashdown. And as if on cue, we have Jim Cross on the line. How are you doing today, sir?
Hi, Jim. I'm fantastic. How are you guys today?
Doing great.
I'm not sure I'm doing fantastic, but, but
why not? Hey, it's a great day to have a great day.
I'm on
guys.
My second cup of coffee and still haven't got to fantastic yet. A little better, maybe, but not fantastic.
Wonderful, maybe.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, after I share all these stats from Alfred, I may not be doing as good as I thought I was. So we'll see.
Understand that. Well, you had a great week last week.
The Panthers. Undefeated in their bye week.
Take the wife out to eat, or did you go scout somebody? What'd you do?
Well, what did I do last Friday? Yeah. I kept the grandkids.
Oh, well, there you go. That's great.
That's great.
Yep.
I
love that.
But this week's going to be a tough one, Jim.
Yeah. Just looking at, Malvern, they lost a couple of games, but of course they lost to the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears. So I think you can kind of discount those two losses, but I like to see who they beat, and they beat Hot Springs Lakeside, who beat Camden Fairview, who beat Lake Hamilton, and who beat Russellville.
Yeah.
So that tells you all you need to know about Malvern. And then some of their players, Jalen Dupree, 1,058 yards rushing in five games.
Yeah.
Last week and against Waldron, 225, five touchdowns on 11 touches. They already tackled him. And then they've got the receiver, Dylan Carradine. Yeah. He only has 36 catches this year for eight touchdowns. a lot of times, guys, you go in the game and say, okay, hey, we're going to stop the running game. We're going to force them to pass or vice versa. And, I was talking to Coach Richardson, what do you do in this situation when you've got – they're so explosive on running and passing. And, he just basically talked about knowing your tendencies and playing assignment football, and everybody's got to do their deal, and everybody's got to tackle.
Coach speak.
Yeah.
That's why we like having you on here, Jim.
That's right.
They're strong up front. They've got a – two-time All-State senior left tackle, Vinny Winters, 6'4", 300, just a little dude, has offers from Arkansas, Kansas State, and Memphis.
Yes, 6'4", 300, and can move.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have a 6'4", 300-pound defensive end. So, now we got some quick guys, But the good news is, fellas, I'm gonna give you a positive spin.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
This isn't the World Series. You don't have to beat them 4 out of 7. You just got to beat them once. So
that's a good way to look at it. Just one time. One time, baby.
That's exactly right. Jim, after the bye week, how the Panthers look physically? Got anybody coming back that's been out for a while? Or?
Yeah, the bye week came in a great time, guys. Nash Brown didn't play against Waldron, and he's our best defensive player. Had 150 tackles last year, and he's 100% healthy, and he'll be ready to go. So the bye week, was crucial for him. And some other guys were a little banged up. Everybody, according to Coach Richardson yesterday, everybody that played against Waldron will be ready to go against Malvern. So that's a big deal.
Well, according to my Benton buddies in Central Arkansas, they do have a lot of talent. They think one kid that's kind of getting overlooked is their H-back tight end, Keelan Janelle, 6'5", 235. He does have an offer from UAPB, but they say he's big time. So, but I don't know. I mean,
It's kind of interesting. Coach Richardson mentioned him as well, and he said he's a tight end. He catches the ball well. But blocking is what really sets him apart.
Yep.
Because they'll move him out on the bubble, and he'll be the blocker out there. And then they'll move him inside, and he'll block on the trap play. And then they move him outside, and he blocks on the sweep. And so really, he said, wherever he goes, that's where the ball's going. And so he's as important to this offense as, in some ways, as the Pre and Carradine are, because of his versatility. I mean, he can do it all.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. And he just doesn't seem to get the publicity that Dupree and Winters do. So,
Yes. And then Carradine, the receiver, according to Coach Richardson, he's signed with Air Force. So you've got a D1 receiver, a D1 running back, and a D1 tackle.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning of the season, we talked about this. You're starting the murderer's row here for the Panthers of Malvern, Nashville, Arkadelphia, and just three really tough games. And going to be very important for you to keep people healthy and make sure that you keep things on track as you move through this, because every game's a big game.
Yeah, and then after you finish that, fellas, then you get to roll into an improved MENA team.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you're beaten down after, if you, for some reason you have three consecutive losses and you kind of lost your heart a little bit, and then you got to play MENA, that's no cakewalk either. No. And so those four games are, pretty pretty tough.
Yeah, you're kind of backloaded on the schedule here. So
we need to kind of move that around. So.
I don't know how that works, but it does seem like that you guys get those three teams back to back every year, back to back to back. It's not a surprise. I mean, Malvern was picked number one by Hootens in the conference and number one by Hootens in the state in 4A. So it's not like they can't look at the schedule and say, you know what, maybe we ought to break these up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
They're number one. They're still number one this week.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. But I will say, guys, in talking to some of the players, Nash Brown, Caleb Blankenship, Tatum Johnson, Antonio McDuffie, they're all in great spirits. And, they kind of feel like, fellas, they don't have anything to lose.
Yeah.
Let's just go play hard and do our thing. And nobody thinks we're going to win except us in the locker room. And so their spirits are really high and they're really positive. And so that's what you like to see. And we'll kind of go from there. But we have great senior leadership. And you never know what just might happen if we can come out early, get a lead, and put the pressure on Malvern. And
that's exactly right. That's why they play the games, right, Jim?
Yes, that's it.
Yep.
That is it.
Yeah. Well, anything else for us today, Jim?
Well, I tell you, from my perspective of the game, and I think you'll understand where I'm coming from, is I think this game will really tell us what we have, because nothing against the three teams that we beat, but the three teams that we beat, I think their combined record's 1-14.
Yeah.
So we hadn't really accomplished anything there, and Hope, is only won one game. Now I think Idabel was pretty good, and they could compete in our conference. But I think this will tell us kind of where we stand. And I think right now nobody really knows. And heck, we could go out and play with Malvern. Who knows? But I think we'll know a whole lot more about our team about 9:30 Friday night after the game's over with.
That sounds good. And we appreciate you as always checking in with us, and look forward to hearing your report on the game next week, Jim.
And good luck.
Well, hope it's a good one.
Yes. Me too. Go Panthers.
Yep, go Panthers.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Walker Family Clinic, my friends, with locations here in DeQueen and also over in Dirks.
Yes.
They're putting on a flu clinic this week as well. You'll be hearing this if you're listening to this on Friday. It'll be past. But if you hear it on Wednesday.
No, you can still go.
Probably. You can still go probably.
I think it's till 6 o'clock.
Till 6 Friday. O'clock. Mm-hmm. So I have both locations all day on Friday. Flu clinic going on at Dr. Randy Walker's clinics here again in DeQueen and Dirk. So you just drive up. It's a drive-by shooting kind of deal. Don't call it that.
Yeah.
You just get shots.
You don't have to get out of your car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You roll your sleeve up and they give you a shot while you're in your car.
Yep.
And you're on your way.
Boom, just like that. As well as all the other great things that they offer, like adult and pediatric allergy and immunizations, wellness physicals and visits, and things for the workplace as well. If you're an employer and you need DOT physicals done, drug screenings, any type of workers' comp, employment and pre-employment physicals, Walker Family Clinic can get it done.
And also, they have the Leopard Care Clinic located on campus at the DeQueen schools, and their goal there is to help improve the lives of the DeQueen School District children and faculty by bringing essential services to them where and when they need them most.
Indeed.
And so they're right there, open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And so, some of the advantages of that are students have direct access to health care during school, and the clinic serves all students with or without insurance. Basic health care needs reduce student and teacher absences from class. Parents do not have to miss work to take their children to see a health care provider. you know, transportation problems and seeking health care reduced, and all other kinds of advantages, you know. And that, and it's just so great to have that facility just right there on campus where kids, if they have a problem, they just go down there and see a medical provider and get their problem taken care of without having to leave school.
That's right. Healthy students make better learners, right?
That's right.
Also, Simple Simon's Pizza, don't forget, my favorite, dine-in, carry-out delivery, it don't matter. Just give them a call, 870-642-4103. Stop by every single day at around 11 a.m., and you can get that buffet as well, all you can eat. And they got sandwiches, too. We never talk about the sandwiches.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, sandwiches are so good, especially that Italian sub, pepperoni, Italian sausage, some mutts, and secret sauce. Sounds great to me.
I like the JW.
Yeah, the JW, salami, ham, pepperoni, and ranch dressing. Yeah. Couldn't ask for anything better, as well as wings, some great desserts, and as you know, pizzas, strombolis, and calzones, all that good stuff. So Simple Simon's Pizza as well. Great sponsors here on the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Also, Ayers Cleaners.
Ayers Cleaners as well.
Yep. Ayers Cleaners has been a mainstay in the Queen for years and years and years, and the Walkers took that up and have added to it. Now mm-hmm. open on Saturday mornings also for pickup and delivery.
That's
and,
right.
And so they're there every day for you.
Ayers Cleaners, Dr. Randy Walker, with locations here in DeQueen and Dierks. Speaking of Dierks, we do have the man, the myth, the legend. Guys joined us on every podcast for the past few not every podcast. What is it? Since the 6th, I think. I think that sounds right.
He's been here for a few.
For a few.
So, yes, I can't remember. He's about a regular now.
Yeah,
he is.
Mr. Jeff Tuttle, play-by-play for Dierks.
Jeff, Friday's game was a big game for the Dierks Outlaws and ended up being a tough game.
Yeah, so it was a tough night for the Outlaws. Real quick, before we get into that, I want to say earlier y'all congratulated the Dierks. DeQueen soccer team on the state championship and receiving their rings. The Dierks 1975 Outlaws were honored Friday night for their state championship. You know, it was a big deal at halftime for those 75 Outlaws, and there were several of them from that class there, and they were recognized. And
Greg and I got to go to the game, and we really appreciate the hospitality. Got to sit in the air-conditioned press box. Got to see Coach Ernest and Coach Cheshire. You know, we know Coach Cheshire from a few years back, and we just really appreciate how good to you were to us while we were there. Huge visitor crowd for the Rattlers.
We talked about that, you know, maybe not on the air, but amongst ourselves in the press box. That's as good a crowd as we've seen across the field, probably in several years. I mean,
yeah.
Other than maybe a playoff game against Poland or somebody like that, they would bring a good crowd. But it was good to have y'all there the other night. And
we really enjoyed it, Jeff. I got to see a whole lot of people I don't get to see a lot, and enjoyed that. They probably didn't enjoy seeing me, but I enjoyed
it. None of them have said that yet, but I hadn't run across all of them.
Jeff has not read all his
emails. I enjoyed getting to talk to them. And we really enjoyed the atmosphere there down in the holler. Just a great place to play football. And, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, the stands are full. There's people sitting on what I call the track.
Yeah.
And, you know, bringing lawn chairs and up on the hill.
It's a great atmosphere. It was my first game there. I'd been to the field, but it was my first game there. And it's a great atmosphere for high school football.
Always a great crowd. And it's a good atmosphere. And I mean, even, you know, the Outlaws, as we hadn't really got into the ball game, but the Rattlers defeated the Outlaws 30-6. And the Outlaws are off to an 0-2 start in conference, 2-4 on the season. But that crowd will be there till it's over. You know, till they move on to the gymnasium. That crowd's there week in and week out.
And that's really great to have that kind of support for your football team. You know, from what we saw, you know, Dierks drove the ball down the field to start the game, got right down there and then threw an interception, which was returned, returned a long ways, but got called back, but kind of thwarted that drive. And then, you know, Murfreesboro had a couple of good running backs.
Well, I mean, as you look over these stats, And total yards, the Rattlers had 415 total yards to 268 by the Outlaws.
All on the ground.
I was just going to say, 415 of those 415 yeah. came from the running attack. They yeah. had three backs that were over 100 yards. I mean, Compton had 112, Stevens 127, Sanders 168. I mean, if you do that, and that fullback dive was
yeah.
Stevens, if you can't stop the fullback dive, you're going to have trouble with everything else because he's hitting you for seven a lick.
Well, I'll tell you what, all their backs ran downhill too. There was no standing up. There was no dancing. It was straight ahead, and was very impressed with the Rattlers, to be frank.
Yeah, I mean, going into the ball game, I really thought like the Outlaws would defeat the Rattlers or play them a really good game, and the Rattlers were impressive. I mean, they dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, I thought.
Well, I think that, you know, from what I saw, and Tony may have a different viewpoint of this, but being able to go to the game and what I saw, it looked like it was one of those nights when whatever Dirks did, it just didn't work out right.
Yeah.
And you know, and it may, you know, those kind of nights happen sometimes, and when they happen and they stay for the entire game, then you get a 30-6
well,
loss.
And when that first drive, if you score on that first drive, could be a totally different
That's
game.
That's right.
And but the Rattlers are the kind of team, just by watching them, if you get behind the eight ball, if you get a score or two down, you're not going to get the football back many times.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You hear people talk about playing behind the chains, same way on the scoreboard, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. with them. And they had two passing attempts, and I believe we intercepted one of those.
You did.
Dugan had yep. an interception. So they threw two passes, completed one to us,
yeah,
and 58 rushing attempts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that clock's running on those 58 rushing attempts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you say, if you're behind on the scoreboard, it's working against you.
Well, and speaking about Case and Dugan, he's going to be our Toad Thumper Outlaw Player of the Game. 11 tackles, one interception. And the interception was a big interception. It was right before halftime. The Rattlers were driving at that point in time, and he intercepted it and took it back quite a ways.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, 12 yards.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, I think that's a, you know, he had a great game again, you know, and so for that, he's going to be the Toad Thumper Outlaw Player of the Game. Jeff, just to finish up, anything else you want to talk about on that game?
Well, you know,
we move forward.
You mentioned Case and Dugan. He's solid on defense for him week in, week out. They moved him to offense the other night, like in an H-back spot, and he got a few carries. You know, that's a new position for him in the ball games. I mean, I'm sure he's been practicing at it some, but he's the defensive leader, led the team in tackles last year. But you know, you had a few more defensive linemen other than that. Jaron Hill had 11 tackles, Jake Catt 7, and then on the offensive side, Jordan Hill 21 carries for 77 yards rushing and a touchdown, and Andrew Mack passed for 116 yards with a long of 57 late in the game. But
well, I'm sure the Outlaws aren't the kind of team that go into a Friday night thinking we're going to throw the ball 28 times. But yeah. but again, we talked about, you get behind Murfreesboro, you feel like you're going to have to score on every drive, and you really have no choice but to pass the ball a lot.
Yeah, and it's been the same way the last 2 weeks. You know, at Lafayette County a few weeks ago, they got down and were having to throw it around at the end of the game, and that's not the offense they're wanting to run.
Right.
I mean, they want to throw and complete, I would say, 10 passes a game just to open up the running game for them. And, you know, that hadn't been the case the last few weeks.
Right.
With a tough one coming up this week, if y'all want to lead into that.
That's where we're heading. It's not going to get any easier this week. The Outlaws go to Mineral Springs, the consensus number one team in the state.
Overall, if you talk to people from Mineral Springs.
Overall,
yeah. Number one.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I hadn't seen Mineral Springs play, but
you have seen Parkview.
Seen Parkview. And if they are, you don't want to watch Mineral Springs play.
If Bryant was at the top of the mountain, they'd won how many straight games in state of Arkansas?
54.
And you knock the king off the mountain, you're king until somebody proves different. And they looked the part Friday night.
Yeah. That's right.
But famous guy once said, if you want to be the man, You got to beat the man.
That's right. And Mineral Springs, you know, Mineral Springs, good football team, though. No matter.
Oh, absolutely.
What.
I mean, yeah. I'm just picking on a few of my friends there.
I know you are. But, you know, they've outscored their opponents 271-24. Beat Lafayette County last week 70-0.
Yeah, that's not a good sign for the folks over in North Howard County right now. South Howard County's got their number, it looks like.
Yeah.
Shooting for them.
Well, they've got, you read this, they've got an all-state running back, 1,022 yards, 13 TDs, KT Thomas. Looks
six,
like he's going.
6'1", 190 pounds. I mean.
Yeah. And then a kid who should really be a Leopard, Greg.
That's right.
Senior Jace Emerson, 5'9", 260 with a 550 squat. His father was an assistant coach for the Leopards for a year or two, right?
Yeah.
And, okay, I was going to ask what the connection
was. That's the
there.
Story. Matter of fact, when I was trying to get some information a couple weeks ago, I called Coach Emerson, and he was gracious enough to talk to me. And I reminded him, I said, man, we really need your son over here. I should have said him too, but yeah. I think I said Jace. I think we need Jace over here.
Yeah.
You know, on the passing receiving side of it, they have Evan Irwin at quarterback. He threw for over 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns last year. I'm not sure what everybody's stats are this year. If I was a little more dedicated, I probably could have got those for us. But wide receiver Javion Fricks, a little over 500 yards catching last year, 22 catches, and 7 of those were touchdowns. That's a pretty good percentage for him.
Yeah,
he goes 6'5", 220 at wide receiver.
Man,
you know, that's a big target.
It is.
Well, and I mean, you're talking a 2A football team. These are huge sizes, from what I've heard, depth's not a problem for them either.
Well, I was going to say, I got their roster just before I came up here, as a matter of fact, and looking over it, I think this team had 5 seniors, maybe 6.
Yeah.
You know, so they're sitting on 1 year and we're done. They're looking to do a little damage for a few years.
Yeah.
They got a defense that's giving up very few points. I'm not score they shut out last week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not sure about the week before that, but I know a few weeks ago, one of those many Arkansas high school sports sites, they posted some stuff on Mineral Springs, and this was after week 3 or 4. I'm not sure if they played a 0 week. We won't get into that. We won't get
Greg not going to talk about that.
But that site posted that they'd only given up 7 points on the season, and, of course, one of my friends from Mineral Springs corrected them and said 6 points. He didn't want that extra point going on there. But, you know, you're playing – if you're beating people like they are, you're playing second, third string, and to still not be giving up points, I mean – they've got some talent down there.
They do.
They really do. Going to be a tough game. Do you know any injuries on the Outlaws that you know of?
We had a guy kind of limping around. I won't, just in case he is injured or not injured, I won't throw a name out there. But by the end of the game, and I think he's going to be good to go, but I think it was maybe just maybe some cramping or something like that in his calves. But, I mean, no major injuries new to report. You know, we got Juan Salazar back last week. Now, Grayson Kersey, who hurt his knee earlier in the year, he had knee surgery last week, so prayers to him and his family that's taking care of him. I know how it is to take care of somebody injured, so
yeah,
they can be grumpy. Yeah. I'm that grumpy guy, by the way.
Well, brother, let's hope the Outlaws get after it, maybe catch the Hornets napping a little bit and come out of there Friday with a win.
I hope so.
Well, appreciate you being down here, Jeff, and we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
Harris Drug and Gifts, downtown DeQueen, 205 DeQueen Avenue. Beautiful downtown DeQueen. Just a humble, great little store to stop in and pick up all the gifts that you could possibly need for your family, including great, great Razorbacks merch for the whole family, and free stuff as well, like free local delivery, free gift wrapping. They have a bridal registry as well that you can sign up for, and gifts for everybody in the family, including your baby, home decor, toys, locally made goods, you name it. It's all at Harris Drug and Gifts, as well as fulfilling all pharmaceutical needs in your life and your family's lives.
Been there for over 50 years.
Yeah.
family ran.
Yep.
That says something.
That does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that Razorback corner is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Even though we took it on the chin this last week, mm-hmm. I still like to go in there and look to see what the new stuff they have.
Yeah.
Unique things. Not the same Razorback stuff you see everywhere else.
Right, right.
And when you go in there, you know, they're always smiling, laughing. We have a good time. We're talking. Just great people to work with and obviously top-notch professionals when it comes to delivering your pharmaceutical needs.
Yeah, it's rare that you got to go in to fill your prescription and can have such a good time while doing it.
That's exactly right.
Harris Drug and Gifts, man. Like Greg said, been here for over 50 years for a reason. 205 DeQueen Avenue in beautiful downtown DeQueen. Harris Drug and Gifts. Make them your hometown pharmacy and gift-giving hub here in Sevier County.
That's it.
We have to talk about Horatio.
Okay, Philip Phil's in studio to tell us about the Horatio Lions and the Falk Monsters. Oh, I'm sorry, Panthers.
Panthers.
I always want to call them the Monsters. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I told you last week that I nicknamed us the Spooky Conference last year because yeah. we have both the Garden Light and the Falk Monsters. Yeah. So,
have you yeah. ever seen the Garden Light, by the way?
Well, when I was in college at Wausau Baptist, I went and looked for the Garden Light on several occasions because that was kind of the thing yeah. to do around yeah, yeah. Halloween.
Yeah.
But no, never saw it. But yeah. I was out there with probably about 300 or 400 college kids. So, you yeah. know, it may have interfered. I don't know.
You know, I'm a Washtenaw graduate too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we got that in common. We both went to see the Garden Light.
All right.
Neither one of us saw it, but it was still interesting. You know, something else that we want to do real quickly before we get into the football game.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Horatio Senior Girls Golf Team. They won state this past week.
Right. Yes, they did. And that is the first, as I understand it from our AD there, that's our first girls championship of any sort in golf in Horatio's history. So it was a really big deal. And they were presented at halftime. At the game with Falk as an honor for their accomplishment. That's a great accomplishment for those girls.
It is a great accomplishment, and congratulations to those girls on winning the state championship.
Absolutely.
And right. So we'll talk about a little bit about football. Horatio comes out on the short end of a 34-7 score.
Yeah, the numbers there look a little upside down, but in fact, it was a very close game. At halftime, Falk led by 6. It was a really close game through the first quarter. Falk did not score until the very end of the second quarter, just before halftime. And they got in and got that touchdown. They missed their PAT, so it was, you know, just a one-point differential in terms of another touchdown. But then third quarter passed. Falk had another touchdown. It was only 13-0 at that point. Fourth quarter, though, just got away from them. Falk finally hit their stride and started putting in some touchdowns. Horatio had trouble generating a lot of offense there through the end of the third quarter and into the fourth. And that's where things kind of went down. Other than that, very competitive game throughout. A lot of improvement, good game. They played well. They really had a hard time getting down towards the end zone. They were down in the red zone twice, couldn't convert. If you convert those points, it's a different game.
Yeah.
Well, and we've always talked about how important it is for high schools to develop a kicker. That way you don't have a lot of empty possessions, you know, going for it on fourth down and not getting it. And the schools that do have a good kicker, they kick a – you know, 37, 35, 33-yard field goal when they get in those situations, and you feel better about yourself when that happens.
Yeah, and Tenero can kick. It just never really worked out for him to be in range. That being said, he's also Horatio's punter, and Tenero, he was a huge asset throughout the game in terms of field position. He could nail some good punts and swap the ends of the field, and that gave the defense some breathing room. And he was a big key to the game. But in terms of player of the game, Trey Daniel really, while he didn't make that many catches, he had two catches for 42 yards. Several others had more yardage. Trey Mason had 9 for 46. Layton ran 6 times for 25 yards. Riley was passing was 14 for 25 for 120 yards, which is really not bad. But Daniel had two key catches. Trey Daniel, he had that one catch in the first half that put him on the 4. Unfortunately, couldn't convert there in the red zone. And then he had the catch for the touchdown. So while he only had two catches, 42 yards, those were really two key catches.
Trey Daniel.
Trey Daniel.
Our Horatio State Bank Arkansas or Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air player of the game.
That's great. So looking forward to this week.
Yeah.
The Lions are going to Murfreesboro. Tony and I got to see Murfreesboro Friday night.
We went to Dirk's and watched Murfreesboro.
They look pretty impressive.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Murfreesboro looks like they've got a good record coming in. Obviously, it was kind of a struggle against Mineral Springs, but then again, everybody struggled against Mineral Springs this year. They're the number one rated 2A team in the state. I think it's great that they're in our little corner of the state. I mean, you know, Mineral Springs, small school down there, 2A. They've had a good program for a long time, but man, they've just really hit their stride this year.
Yeah, they're really doing well, and so, what do you expect from the game this week?
Well, we always, you know, there's always those kind of local rivalries that you always play really well. Horatio has always played really well against Foreman, Derrick's, and Murfreesboro. That's always been kind of the big three, and I suspect we'll probably have a really good game. We always talk about progress. We've progressed well, I think, throughout the season. We've seen a lot of development. You know, when you got a sophomore quarterback, you know, it takes him a little bit of time. There's just things that there's no way that he's going to learn a lot of the things that he needs to learn other than just game time. And Riley has progressed well, I think. You can definitely see his maturity coming along pretty quickly in his decision making, when to throw, when not to throw. He's had a couple of intentional groundings. He's getting better about that. But the thing with those intentional groundings is he's learning that I need to get rid of the ball. And then what he has to learn is, well, I have to get rid of the ball at the right time.
Right, I understand.
and that's one of those things that you got to learn through game time. And he's doing a pretty good job. I think he's maturing really well.
Yeah, well, it sounded like he, in the Falk game, he had spread the ball around well, had a good game throwing the ball. And I think, you know what, the Lions are going to have to be ready for the Murfreesboro Rattlers running attack. Their running attack is just was pretty dominating.
Well, we called it a two-headed snake last week going into the Derrick's game. It's really a three-headed snake. They rushed the ball 58 times for 415 yards, and Compton, Stevens, and Sanders all had over 100 yards rushing, had three rushers with over 100 yards. So they threw two passes. One was picked off. They probably shouldn't have thrown any passes.
That's true.
So they are a handle. They're young men run downhill. There's no juking and jiving, dancing, anything like that. They are straight ahead.
Horatio's got a pretty good defensive line. Those defensive tackles and linebackers do a pretty good job of controlling the inside. The real key for Horatio is in being able to control that corner. Where Horatio has struggled in the past defensively is whenever they run up against a running back's got a lot of speed. And if he gets around that corner, is where they struggle. So the key for Horatio, probably especially with the running attack, is being able to control those corners, force them to the middle, and they should have a competitive game.
Well, it's going to so it's going to be strength versus strength, Phil,
right?
Because from what I saw of Murfreesboro, they're going to run the ball right up the middle.
Right.
They don't run way outside wide. They're inside the tackles at least 80% of the time. So
so
we'll get to see. That'll be interesting to see how Horatio's defensive line stacks up against that offense of Murfreesboro.
Yeah,
should match up physically.
Yeah.
Murfreesboro was very physical Friday night.
Yeah, should be a fun game. I was just talking to Coach Castleman this week about that very thing, the physicalness of the team this year. And, you know, the really remarkable thing this year, I've been broadcasting now Horatio for 4 years, and in the last 4 years, this is the most physical team that we've had. And in terms of conditioning, their conditioning has been excellent. I think we had two cramps against Foreman when all the heat was really bad. Other than that, against that entire game against Foreman, the heat, as bad as it was first game of the season, they never dragged a bit. And these guys have played really well for four quarters. So their conditioning, I think, is really good. And I asked Coach Castleman what he thought the key to that was, and he said July. He said getting the guys in a lot of camps, getting them out there running and playing, has made a big difference. And he said he attributed a lot of that to their conditioning this year.
Well, Horatio's been very, very fortunate on the injury front. Hadn't had a lot of injuries. So
right.
I mean, that goes to – some of that's luck, but some of it goes to conditioning
as well. I think a lot of it's conditioning, especially these days. You know, if you get them out there, you get them in good shape, get them flexible, get some strength, I think you wind up avoiding a lot of those injuries.
Yeah. That sounds great. Looking forward to a good game when the Lions go to Murfreesboro to play the Rattlers. Hope we come out with a big win.
All right. That's what we're looking for.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks for coming in, man.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Go Lions.
Okay, we're here with the Cossatot River Eagles coach, Dakota Barrett. And, Coach, I know y'all had a game at least last Tuesday, played the Blevins team.
Yes, sir. We went down to Derrick's, and, you know, first of all, huge thanks to Coach Ernest. You know, he got that set up for us and let us come over there and just showed us kind of true hospitality over there. But went and played Blevins, and Blevins was quite a bit bigger and physical, and they were faster than us, and they put a whooping on us. But somewhere kind of there in the middle of that game, we found a little bit of offense rolling, and you know, we're hoping to build on that this week. And we traveled the night to Mount Ida, and hopefully come out maybe with a win over there.
And it's just so exciting to hear that you're playing football, though. And I know that the more you play, the more you would like to get a win. But right now, I think it's just important that you're playing. You know, that you're getting out there, you're getting these kids their feet wet as far as the game goes, and that's got to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we talked about it week in, week out. You know, our mentality is to win, and that's what it's got to be. But there's also some small victories in there. You know, in the beginning of the year, we struggled lining up right, and that hasn't been much of a struggle. You know, I think the thing that we are behind on, but besides, you know, physical strength, I guess, would be kids understanding when it's okay to attack and filling gaps and just not being confident in themselves in the game of football. And, you know, I've got 26 kids. I haven't lost any kids. It's been strong all year with numbers, and you know, they want to play, and I know sometimes it's hard to keep the morale up when you're getting your head beat in, but they keep showing up ready to work. And, you know, every game we walk out there, I believe all 26 of them think we're going to win it, and that's the kind of mentality that will carry us a little bit.
Coach, and you may not know the answer to this question, but where do you see the program being next year? Will they add a grade level, or do you think it'll be 7th and 8th grade again and then maybe move on to 9th grade after that? What do you anticipate?
So what I think we're going to end up doing is we're going to run a 7th through 9th. We're going to run a legit junior high team. We'll have to schedule regular junior high games.
Wow, great.
Hopefully get around. We're going to add a coach to the staff, hopefully. And, you know, looking about trying to add some kind of weight room or something here that we're really missing is the weight room. And of course, I think school is fully supportive of that. But, yeah, hopefully we play a regular junior high schedule next year. I think the main plan would be the following year to have kind of a JV senior high team with this group of 10th graders. So, you know, that being 2 years. And on the third year, when this first group enters their junior year, we would be back in the cycle. And, wow. Of course, if it stayed where we are right now, we would be in with Charleston and Boonville.
Right.
And you know, I wouldn't be upset if we dropped back 2A before then. But, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at. That's our game plan moving forward. And, you know, one thing I'll say this, too. I'm tickled with the kids that are getting better. We're not – it's just more than just suiting a team out. And I know that it's a big deal just for us to do that, but – the kids are understanding things, becoming more confident, and that tickles me.
Well, you know, you mentioned Coach Ernest at Derrick's, and I know you've been down here to the Queen. It seems like the schools around you have really rallied around you guys and tried to make this birth as painless as possible.
Oh, man, I can't tell you how much I'm thankful for them. You know, go down there and Coach Bell at D-Queen just showed us you know, nothing but good Southern hospitality. You know, he takes us in there. He lets us kind of however we want to set the game up. They're okay with whatever the quarters are, running clock, not running clock, just whatever, you know. And Coach Ernest, he told me early in the year, he said, I don't know if I'll have the numbers to be able to play you So when I called him back and told him, hey, man, I got Blevins, but we need a field. He didn't hesitate. Y'all come on. I'll have somebody in the announcer's box. I'll have a chain gang, That's you cool. know, just that kind of stuff that people don't think. There's a lot to go into having a game. And these coaches have just taken us, accepted us, and they're not out trying to kill us. We're good practice for them. And on the other hand, you know, they're letting us get our feet wet in football. And them and Coach Bentley at MENA, and, I mean, there's been several of them. And Mount Ida the same way. So all these schools around us, they'd like to see Causatot with football, and that tickles me too.
Well, the whole area wins if Causatot has football.
That's right.
Well, man, we really, really appreciate you calling, giving us an update on the Eagles, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Hey, enjoy the show, and good luck to y'all this weekend.
Now go Eagles.
Have a good day.
Bye.
The Foreman Gators.
Yes, they were off Friday night, but this week they're home versus the Pohen Indians.
Mm.
Pohen Indians this year 2-4, 1-1 in the conference, and they beat Mount Ida handily last week.
Friday. 28-0. They have 16 returning starters and have had 5 straight non-losing seasons. They're starting to put together one of those streaks like that Steelers always talk about. They're proud of that non-losing season streak. Mm. Looking at the Hootens article, Pohen was expected at least this year to have a very good defense, kind of anchored by Kevin Freeman. He's a 3-season starter at nose guard. And, Greg, he only,
stay on
only
the mic.
Squats 550 pounds.
Only 550?
Only 550.
Only 550. <Yeah. laughs> That sounds like what I do with one leg.
Yeah.
For some reason, when I read that, I thought it was like, okay, he weighs this much, but then when he squats, he's 550. Why did I think that?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know, man.
The Gators, you know, they will have the Indians in Foreman, and Gators, you know, should be hungry to get that first win. And I would say that this is a winnable game. If you play well enough, this is a winnable game for the Gators.
I really think it is, too. I think that I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say the Gators are going to win this game, Tony.
Well, you also said Arkansas was going to beat A&M.
I know. Don't say that.
That's the only reason I went to Dallas, because Greg said Arkansas was going to beat A&M.
Greg's a cockeyed optimist, okay?
I'm just cockeyed. Yeah. You know, but if you'll call me an optimist, I'll take it. That's right. Probably one of the two times in my life I've been called
when it comes to Razorbacks and
and the Foreman Gators.
And the Foreman Gators.
Pulling Indians. But yeah. Anyway, look forward to that game Friday night, and should be a great game.
Awesome. Should be.
So, Tony, you know what we've got to do now? We've got to talk about the player of the area.
Yes. Yeah, our game of the area. Have we talked about that yet?
No. No, we have not. Yes. But our player of the area this week is going to be the Toe Thumper Outlaw player of the game, Kaysen Dugan. He'll also be our Pilgrim player of the area. He had 11 tackles and 1 interception, and for that effort, he's going to be our player of the area. And we appreciate Pilgrim sponsoring that, and congratulations to Kaysen Dugan for that honor.
Yes.
Now, as we move forward to the game of the week, the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency game of the week this week, we're going to have Ashdown at Malvern.
Ah,
big game in the 4-7A. You know, if Ashdown wants to make a run at those top 3 spots and not be more of a bottom seed in the playoffs, these next 3 weeks are going to be key. If you lose all 3 of these games, you're going to be a 4 seed, you're going to be a 5 seed, you're going to draw somebody really good really far away.
That's right. That's really right. I mean, being down here in this corner of the state, if they're not coming here, you're going there, and it's a long way. It's the first couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
And you know, which makes it that much more difficult. And so it starts out, the murderer's row of Ashdown's schedule starts out this week with the top-rated team in 4A, according to the Democratic Gazette, the Malvern Leopards.
Cross is probably trying to figure out, who makes this schedule? I'm going to find out who makes this schedule, because we play these teams 3 in a row every year.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that Ashdown's had, you know, the first part of the season, you know, they've lost a couple of games that we really thought they wouldn't lose.
Right.
Which some of the teams are better than we thought they were.
Hope, for example.
Yeah, that's right. But I also think that, you know, their focus has always been on these three games.
Yes.
From before the times the season even started.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the reasons why we want this to be the game of the week. I think you're going to see the Ashdown Panthers play really well.
It'll be an outstanding effort.
Yeah, I think it will.
Whether they've got enough to pull it off, especially up there, that's another thing. But they'll get outstanding effort out of their young men.
That's exactly right. So the Woods Agency Shelter Insurance game of the week is going to be the Ashdown Leopards. Excuse me, the Ashdown Panthers at the Malvern Leopards.
It's going to be a cat fight either way.
Yeah, it's going to be a cat fight. Yeah, Panthers, Leopards.
Yeah.
You know, they're all cats, right?
They are.
Yeah.
Except for the Monsters.
Yeah. Except
for the Monsters. I'm telling you what, man. I'm going to go to Falk and stand in front of whatever the local grocery store is, and I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get the name changed.
That's right.
It's the Monster Mart.
Well, I just don't know how you're – if you're fat, I don't know how you – you know, we had a thing called the Mothman in West Virginia, Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Yeah, that movie's after.
And their nickname is the Big Blacks. I mean, just the collar and like the Browns.
Yeah.
And I always thought, man, that's a missed opportunity. They should be the Mothmen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Do you think Falk's trying to get away from like, man, we're more than the more than the monster.
Nah, they've probably been the Panthers before anybody ever saw the Falk Monster.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, our game of the week, I'm going to try to do this correctly.
No, you nailed it.
The Ashdown Panthers are going to the Malvern Leopards.
Yes.
Friday night.
Going to be a great game.
Yes, it is.
Going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
And so, you know, that wraps up another week, man. 10th episode. Uh-huh. We got it wrapped up here.
In the can.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where most people throw it. but we enjoyed doing it, and it got a lot of good info on all the teams this week.
More studio guests than we've ever had.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we really appreciate them all coming in or calling in, whatever they do. You go all the way from Ashdown, Dirks, Foreman, all the way up to Costock River, and Costock River is just really exciting to hear them talk about their football program. Coach Barrett, he's just all into it, man.
He is. He's a very impressive dude.
Yeah. And so we really appreciate everybody for listening. And don't forget, you can listen on the WashitaPodcast.com. You can go to Spotify and listen. You still can't go to Apple and listen. But you
have we checked that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not. No, it's not. I don't see it happening.
It's not happening. But Spotify.
How long do you got to be a podcast before you get on Apple?
Well, do we need? Do I need to?
No, I'm sure it would just confuse me.
Yeah. And also at 5 o'clock Friday, we'll be on the trio of stations here, 92.1 FM. We'll also be on 102.1 The Good Path, and we'll be on
AM 1390 and FM 104.5.
Thank you.
Yep.
I was getting there. But sir?
It's actually a quartet. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It is a quartet. Four stations. But those two are the same thing. So
don't say that.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, I've got four stations to run.
I'm sorry.
Okay?
Tyler's going to edit that out.
Two of those are the same.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, we'll be on your podcast, on your radio. You can listen to us anytime you want. And we appreciate everybody for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.